We had asked us to share a story of the path that has led us to head off to Lithuania in August. So this is not exactly a sermon, then, except in that our story is part of the bigger story that we tell here every week. And much of our story can be described through how these two Bible passages that we've just read have sunk into our lives.
I'm going to start the story with my friend Charlotte. You may remember that I have asked for prayer for her and her family in the past. Charlotte entered my life when I was a freshman cello player in my college orchestra. Charlotte's parents had wanted her to play flute, but she preferred to play bass, which, if you have ever seen Ryan Martini play, you will know is a small, easily transportable instrument that is a normal choice for a short person who travels a lot. Charlotte and I became close friends over our years at college together as I listened to her stories about China and helped her process her homesickness for her country. She also shared with me how wonderful her English teachers had been and how it was through the friendships she developed with those teachers that she came to know and love the Lord. Her stories inspired me to study abroad in Beijing for a semester during my last year of college, and then after college to join the same organization that had sent Charlotte's English teachers to China to witness to Christ's love in and outside of the classroom. In China, as you may know, verbally witnessing to Christ's love inside the classroom is not approved. Outside of class is another story. What most deeply remains with me from my time there is the conversations I had with students after class, when they would approach me with more personal and often theological questions. Some of the more skeptical of my students were quite combative at first, but as their frank questions led me to articulate what I really believed, we gradually grew to respect and value each other, and to grow in insight into the nature of the love of God and the nature of God's salvation. These conversations became the foundation for a number of friendships, some of which continue to this day. In fact, one of the confirmations we received that teaching overseas was something we should do was an email I received from one of my former students just this past year, saying, and I quote, "You really made a difference on the students' perspectives towards the world when you were teaching, really. Being in your English class is one of the best things that ever happened to me in college. Great memory, too. It would be great if you want to go back to teach again sometime in the future." In the meantime, I had also come to realize that the deep connection and respect I felt for Benjamin meant that God was calling us to a life together. Benjamin was the one student I had met at college who took following Christ as seriously as I did. And when I casually mentioned to my roommates during Benjamin's last semester of college that he was my soulmate, they encouraged me to think about marrying him.
I met Tricia early on in college. We were in philosophy classes together, but I didn't really meet her until my last semester there. At that time, I was attempting to fulfill my dream of being a hermit by living alone in the far corner of the dorm. And my attempts paid off. I was fast becoming sick of my thoughts, of my small corner of Northwest Iowa, and of myself. In short, I was a bit depressed. Apparently, what I thought I wanted and what the Lord had in store for me were not quite the same thing. What getting to know Tricia during my last semester of hermithood meant can be summed up by one of her favorite sayings: "The best is yet to come." One night, a retired professor had the pair of us over and talked to us. He's one of those folks who never left off being a 60s radical and never left off being a committed disciple of Christ either. Perhaps you know people like that as well. He was the one who gave us our first verse to wrestle with. "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded." We knew it, but we didn't know what it meant for us. What exactly was the much we'd been given? How would we recognize what would be demanded? Our radical professor was pretty sure it meant that we should attend a small Christian graduate school in Toronto and learn to become thoroughgoing Christian philosophers. But we weren't quite sure about that yet. I'd intended to be a sort of hermit, engineer, and writer. Now new possibilities were opening up. I knew Tricia was going to teach in China after she graduated. Perhaps, just perhaps, I could go too. So I taught English conversation and literature in China for 2 years. As you'd expect, it was both good and hard. I think what I did best, I did inadvertently. Not long after getting there, a student who wasn't even in any of my classes rang me up and insisted I act in her play. I couldn't bring myself to say no. She was pretty insistent. So I ended up acting in a Chinese play I knew nothing about. Fortunately, I had only one line, and my one line had only one Chinese word in it, so I did okay. The next semester, when I had that student in my class, I realized that my small involuntary action had gained me rapport not only with her, but with the whole class. I wonder how often that is the case. We're told that we've been given much, but we may not know what it is exactly we've been given until after we pass it along.
Our decision to marry each other brought our first overseas teaching experience to an end, as the organization we were with required newlyweds to take a year to get to know each other before partnering with them further. So we returned to this continent to attend graduate school in philosophy at the Institute for Christian Studies in Toronto, as that radical professor had advised. He had encouraged us to go to a place that would not just train us philosophically while we kept up our faith on the side, but to go to a place that had really internalized the reality that Christ is Lord of all of life, and therefore all of life is religion. That Christ calls us to obedience not just in our morals and our theology, but in our practice of engineering and teaching and our ways of conducting business and doing politics as well. And that the way we do these things will reveal whether Christ is truly Lord of our lives or whether we are in actual fact worshiping other gods. Our conviction of this is another part of the much we feel we have been given. We have been given the gift of certainty that following Christ is not just about a couple of hours on Sunday, and that there is a whole smorgasbord of false gods to worship the rest of the time. So we studied and wondered, did our studies help us love God and love others? Were we merely studying because we found it interesting and wanted an interesting job afterward? If we wanted to teach, why did we want to teach? One of the things that has pushed us toward the sort of teaching we'll do in Lithuania, rather than the sort we do at a big university here, is our experience of our professors at the Institute of Christian Studies. Our lives were really enriched by being able to work closely with them in a caring environment, and we knew we wanted to go someplace where we could give what we had been given.
So when we finished our classes at the Institute for Christian Studies, we got out of Toronto as quickly as we could. Isn't it strange how the Lord works? We didn't really care about where we were going. We just wanted to be out of that city and preferably to be near family again. So when Wendy and Chris found a place here, we thought we'd just follow them, whether they liked it or not. And so we found ourselves here, though at the same time, we had no special desire to be here in particular. Yet, when we came, we felt it was indeed God's will for us to be here, even if we weren't sure exactly where our lives should go or that we were yet doing justice to what the Lord had given us. Yet in coming here, we found the Lord gave us still more. Here we have indeed tasted and seen the goodness of God. That doesn't mean things have always been easy, of course. Raising small kids is never easy, as you all know. Not even when you're also trying to finish 2 PhDs from a small graduate school that can't afford to fund its students, and trying to make ends meet in the meantime. But we've seen that life being hard doesn't stop or slow down or otherwise get in the way of the goodness of God. You, our church family, have been one of God's most visible goodnesses in our lives. Your joyful acceptance of our children, your attentiveness to God's call to love neighbors near and far, your honesty in prayer and in praise. And by God's grace, we found ourselves not in a city or even out in the plains, but near forests with moss and ferns and beautiful streams. We never expected to live in a place this beautiful. As we lived here, working at various things, gardening, office work, house building, freelance editing, and tasted the providence of God through it all, we came more and more to feel that God was going to call us to teach, and that this was one thing, at least, that God would demand from us. When we realized the calling, we felt to teach would probably call us away from here eventually. We felt we could embrace more fully the goodness we tasted here. We began to earnestly pray that God would clearly lead us to where he wanted us to be. Since college, we've been living with Christ's words that much will be demanded of us. Now in Southern Illinois, we began to put that together with a new truth the Lord had consistently been bringing up, and that had slowly begun to penetrate our lives. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have been given much, much will be demanded. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
This verse from the Psalms became increasingly meaningful for us as we learned about the opportunity to teach at LCC International University in Lithuania. Last summer, we were up in Michigan for several reasons. I was planning to meet with my mentor, who had moved to Michigan as he came near to retirement. After an exciting meeting with him, during which we set an ambitious goal of finalizing the revisions on my dissertation, scheduling my defense for the spring, and graduating in May, we went to the house of Benjamin's brother's fiancé's parents, Steve and Chris, to meet the family. Steve and Chris happened to be moving back to Lithuania in the fall, where they had taught for several years in the 90s. When Steve heard about my upcoming graduation and our long-term desire to share a vision of God's kingdom with students in an international setting, he said, "Let me tell you about LCC." Trying to be polite, I asked him to tell me more about it. Steve, perhaps mistaking my politeness for interest, did indeed begin to tell me all about it. I smiled and nodded and asked more questions, trying to avoid saying, "Are you kidding? We would never go to Lithuania. It's dark and cold and right next to Russia." And anyway, if we were going to teach overseas, we had always assumed we would go back to China. That night, I couldn't sleep. And my mom always told me that when I couldn't sleep, I should pray. In the morning, I mentioned to Benjamin that I'd spent the night praying instead of sleeping, and I was beginning to wonder if we should consider responding to Steve's invitation to go to Lithuania. Benjamin's response was simply, "We could do that." Suddenly, an uninteresting impossibility seemed possible and interesting.
Since that moment, we've continued to feel a strong sense of the Lord's leading. Although where exactly the Lord has been leading wasn't always exactly clear. It had seemed clear at that moment in August, but when delays and uncertainties kept arising, we were kept guessing. Perhaps God was calling us to LCC, perhaps not. Perhaps just to a school with the same sort of vision for transforming whole lives. Then, as more pieces fell into place, it was clear we were going to LCC, but what we were teaching was not. Perhaps, or perhaps not, we would be teaching the course that drew us to LCC in the first place. And, lo and behold, Tricia indeed will be teaching that class, Moral Philosophy, a capstone course for all students to help them envision the impact the ideals they had gained in school might have on their future lives. Not all the pieces are in place yet. What about our house? And our sweet, beautiful, affectionate, and extremely well-behaved cat, who has been with us since we got married. Does anyone want a cat? But our calling is pretty clear by now. And what's even clearer is that the Lord works in mysterious ways. We aren't taking any of this for granted. Every piece that has fallen into place has become yet another reason to be grateful for the goodness of the Lord. Through it all, the Lord seems to be saying, "Taste and see that I am good. You may taste my goodness through these things, but remember, it's still my goodness you're tasting." Perhaps then we've been beginning to realize also that the greatest thing being demanded of us is to realize that this is all the Lord's work, not ours. As all of you well know, the Lord is indeed at work in the world. In Malawi and Marion, in New Orleans and Hollywood, and in Kyrgyzstan, and in Klaipeda, Lithuania as well. We're so excited to begin our part in this ministry together with you, and to taste the Lord's goodness together in this also, just as we often do after the service.
For further details and information on how to get involved in what God is doing in Lithuania, we have put together envelopes of information for each of you on the shelf behind the wall there, where the envelopes usually go. Lee has very kindly put address labels on, and they're stacked in alphabetical stacks. So hopefully you can find the one that has your name on it. And if you don't have one with a name on it, I believe there are some blank ones on the bottom as well. The information explains that we will be needing prayer, care, and financial supporters. As I mentioned in A Minute for Mission a few weeks ago, we will be going to LCC as volunteers, and we will be partnering with Christian Reformed World Missions, an organization connected to the denomination Benjamin and I grew up in, to develop a support network to make that possible. We are comfortable with Christian Reformed World Missions' vision and approach, and actually they were our partners when we went to China the first time as well. And they offer the added advantage of being supported through estate gifts and denominational shares, which means that all financial donations to our ministry come directly to our work, rather than having a percentage shaved off for administrative fees. LCC has set an annual budget for us of $32,852. If we meet that goal, we should even be able to travel back here to see you all next summer. We will also be developing various ways to stay in touch with supporters back home, like a Facebook group, prayer letters, and the like. We're still in the process of figuring out some of the technology involved. And we'll also definitely find ways to keep in touch with those of you, like Benjamin, who prefer to have nothing to do with Facebook and email. In fact, that would be a great opportunity for a care supporter to print and mail prayer letters to those who want them in hard copy so that we can avoid overseas postage. Your support for our ministry is much appreciated as we extend the mission of First Presbyterian to another part of God's world. To God alone be the glory.